League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everybody, welcome to Two Off the First for today, December the 7th, 2022. I am Ryan Balanchi. Good to have you here with us. We are presented by our friends at French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. Two topics today, as the name of the show implies, of course. Some exciting news on my end. Everything is finally set up with our friends at iHeart. That's getting published in the next day or so. So you'll be able to listen to Golf News Net Radio on iHeart or tune in our website, either of their mobile apps. Anywhere on your smart speaker, you can tell either TuneIn or iHeart on your smart speaker to play Golf News Net Radio. And then you can use either of those apps on Android Auto or Apple CarPlay in your car, or just use Bluetooth. That also works. And play the station. So very, very excited about that. Thank you for all the support on that end. And of this show, it's very much appreciated. All right, let's get into today. So we have the QBE shootout this week. Now, as many of you who are of my ilk or older, or my vintage and older, would know it as it's the Shark Shootout, right? Well, it's not the Shark Shootout anymore. It's been the Shark Shootout since like 1989, colloquially at least. I mean, QBE got involved, other people got involved, Franklin Templeton, but it was always Shark Shootout. Well, it's no longer Shark Shootout because Greg Norman went to LIV and the PGA Tour has control over this event, which is sanctioned by them, right? And obviously LIV isn't going to sanction the QBE Shootout. So that Norman is now no longer part of this. I mean, he's not welcome at Tiburon Golf Club, where he designed both golf courses, which host the CME Group Tour Championship, the season ender, and the LPGA hosts this tournament. It has recently, in recent memory, hosted the PGA Tour Champions. I mean, it is the kind of, if you want to have a golf tournament in Naples with world-class players, you play at Tiburon Golf Club. And that relationship with Greg Norman is now down the toilet. It's gone. And for understandable reasons, of course. However, that has kind of created, I won't say a cloud over the event, but there has been some, I think, doubt about the event in recent memory, because with all of the money that has come into professional golf and with all of the opportunities that are available to players throughout the year, between the opportunity to earn money at the majors, the players, the remaining WGC, all of the FedEx Cup stuff, the race to Dubai, and the demands on these players' time, it's increasingly difficult to find players who are up and at them to play a 54-hole team event in late December. Well, middle December. And that has probably raised some questions behind closed doors of, okay, well, with all of the money that's now coming in next year, will it be even more difficult for this tournament to sustain itself, even though, I mean, there's just 24 players, there's 12 teams, it's 3 days instead of four, there's not a whole lot of media, it's on TV, it's free money, what could be so bad about that, right, of course. But there has been also some forethought about, well, maybe they can do something with this tournament to make it better and be a big stage in a different kind of way. And what has come up, AP's Doug Ferguson first reported this, we wrote an article about it on the website, but I want to give credit to Doug for unveiling this, breaking the news on this. Obviously, he was fed this. But anyhow, what's going to start happening next year is this tournament is going to be a mixed team event, mixed gender event. So you're going to have PGA Tour players and LPGA Tour players. And every team is going to have a male player and a female player. And they're going to battle it out, kind of like the old JCPenney Classic, if you are old enough to remember that. Last time that was played was 1999. So you may not be old enough to remember that. You may, if you've been around for a while. But anyhow, that is what's going to be the future for this tournament, which is, I think, a great idea. It allows the PGA Tour and the LPGA to have an event together that at the same time doesn't necessarily, from the PGA Tour's perspective, require them to take an event already on their schedule and convert it. This is an unofficial event, but it's an event. So that kind of checks the box, so to speak. Could be a dry run for a bigger tournament, ultimately, which we can talk about that in a little bit. my hopes and dreams for that. But this is a way of bringing LPGA players together with PGA Tour players, putting them on the same stage, giving them a really good purse, assuming it's going to be at least what it is this week, which is $3.8 million. The winning team splits $950K. So I mean, that's not nothing. That's our 850, whatever the number is. That's a lot of money this week, okay? So that's nothing to sneeze at in the end. And that's pretty big. For if you look at the LPGA schedule, the winners this week are going to split $475K, right? And there are just a few tournaments on the schedule on the LPGA side that could offer even more than $425K. I don't know why Ferguson went with this number in his piece. Maybe he just didn't do the math right. However, there are only six tournaments on the LPGA schedule that have a first place prize above, well, seven events that have a first place prize above $425,000. The five majors, of course, and all of those have ratcheted up prize money in the last several years in a bit of an arms race. And then the $2 million that goes to the winner of the CME Group Tour Championship at the end of the season. The other event is, at least this year, is the Cognizant Founders Cup. So wherever you have a purse of $3 million or greater, the LPGA pays out 15% to the winner. So that's the other tournament. Now next year, there will be a couple more that come online. So you'll have something like 9 or 10 next year with the first place prize above that 425 figure that Doug's talking about here, even though it's really 475. But nevertheless, this is a meaningful amount of money to the 12 LPGA players that are going to be involved because they're guaranteed that money. So that's nothing. That's not nothing. That's a big deal for the LPGA players that compete in this. The question is, from a not financial perspective, but a sponsor perspective, can you get top 50 players on the PGA Tour to commit to this event and play with LPGA counterparts? I think that you can. I think that the PGA Tour, the younger generation of players, is much more aware of their counterparts in the LPGA, and they want them to succeed. There is a common bond there that I don't know was really entirely there a generation ago, where when you had the JCPenney Classic, you had players getting together that maybe didn't know each other well or at all and were put together for this tournament. And now I don't think that's the case, especially because so many players now kind of live in the same general area, whether it's in Jupiter or Scottsdale or in Houston, all kinds of different places where they're kind of clusters of players. They know each other and they practice together and they respect each other in a way that, to a degree and a breadth that maybe didn't exist 25 years ago. So that's a good thing. And I think you'll find some interesting pairings. Again, it's a low ask event. 54 holes. Two of the rounds are effectively a scramble or a shamble. So that's not a whole lot. And you're getting a free bag of money to show up. There's no reason not to do this. And I don't know, though, Ferguson says in the story that it's unclear how many players will be in the field moving forward, what the qualification criteria will be, and whether the format will remain the same. I imagine the format will pretty much remain the same. That makes sense. Maybe you could add some more players. I don't know. That would probably require QBE to come in with more sponsor money and make it closer to like a $5 million purse if you wanted to have like 24 teams instead of 12 teams. But hey, that's up to them, I guess. I don't know that they're going to double the field because you can't feel confident that you're going to get a lot of top 50 players as it is now. Bet half the field is either ranked in the top 50 of the official World Golf ranking if you're a man, or the Rolex Women's World Golf ranking if you're a woman. This week it'd be Nelly Korda, Lexi Thompson. So, you know, if you double the field, can you get double the number of top 50 players? On the LPGA side, absolutely you can. On the PGA Tour side, don't know. And there's also a component of this that if you aren't among, I think it's the top 40 in the season-ending FedEx Cup, you basically have to be an all-time great kind of level player in terms of money list or the Champions Tour to get into the field, which is why someone like Steve Stricker is playing. Will that carry through? I don't know that either. That probably will. So we'll see a piece about that. And if that's the case, could you have something with like the Legends Tour on the LPGA where you could have Laura Davies come in and play? You could have Julie Inkster come in and play, Annika come in and play. Could you create spaces for them as well, just as you do for kind of the older guys, PGA Tour champions players sometimes who compete in this tournament? I don't know. I'm not sure, but that will be interesting to see. Either way, we're now getting a mixed event, and my hope is that this is the beginning, not the end of the talk around that, where you could have a world in a year or two where the event goes well a couple of times and a sponsor comes in, and maybe it's Zurich, I don't know. The Zurich Classic is fun, but it also has its perils. Maybe Zurich says, hey, we would love to keep the Zurich Classic on the schedule, but we want to do it as a mixed event. And having 80 teams, you have, or 78 teams, or whatever it is, whatever the number they come up with, but you have one PGA Tour player matched with one LPGA player. Or you say, we'll let the LPGA players team up if they want. It can be two dudes, two women, guy and a girl, don't care. Now that would be really interesting to me if you set up a team event where you could have any mixture of teams, any kind of co-mingling that you wished. And you would have to come up with criteria for entry for the first player, the lead player on the team, and how they would pick or create teams. But that could be really interesting because you could have different sets of tees, of course, to accommodate the different lengths of the players, but you could see if having two guys together, two women together, because two women together are probably much better drivers of the golf ball in terms of accuracy, and they're probably better iron players, generally speaking. And, I mean, this is just statistical data comparing the LPGA and PGA Tour. So would they be better together? I don't know. I would be very interested in the answer to that. So maybe Zurt comes in and says, hey, we'd love to kind of turn this team event that we've enjoyed doing and let's make it a mixed event. And that could be really interesting. But what I would love to get to, even beyond that, is a world where you could have effectively what we have with the Australian Open. Two or three tournaments going at the same time. I think the all abilities piece of it is really cool. If they could include that, that would be great. And you have a tournament for the PGA Tour, you have a tournament for the LPGA Tour, and you have an all abilities tournament, and you do it at the same time. And you pick a venue where you can do that and have two courses, have two cuts, have a 36 and a 54-hole cut. And it would be, people would love it, man. It would be great. I would love to see that in this country. And you know where it would go over really, really well? The Pacific Northwest. The Pacific Northwest has been starving for a regular PGA Tour event. They have been starving for more attention from the golf world than they get the occasional bone of a major championship here and there, but they don't get regular events. If you went to a Portland, if you went to a Seattle and said, even Denver, and you said, we're going to bring this unique tournament here, it would slay. You would crush it. And I firmly, firmly believe that. And I don't think you would have to put together something so exorbitant purse-wise. You obviously wouldn't get every top player if you didn't have a highly competitive purse, but you would get a lot of the world top 50 from both tours, from both the Rolex Women's World Golf Ranking and the official World Golf Ranking through the PGA Tour. You would get a really good field if you could find a sponsor to put it all together, or two sponsors. Maybe you have one who presents the PGA Tour event, the other who presents the LPGA event, and you have them combined for the all abilities or something. I don't know, but it could be done. And I that's where I would like to see this go. So this is to say, I hope this isn't the answer. I hope this isn't what we're talking about in 3 years going, why do we only do this? Just bring back the JCPenney Classic. If this is the end, then I'm not happy. If this is the start, this is wonderful and it will be great. All right, let's talk about the second story for today. And I also want to touch briefly, before we get into that, about the Q Series. The LPGA's Q Series is in its second stage this week. So the Q Series is bringing together, basically, it was about 100 players, basically, in the end. from the first state, from the first two stages of Q school, they're graduates, and people have moved through those pieces of the Q series, Q school process. And those players then move forward to the second stage of the competition. So the first week was a 72-hole tournament, and they had a cut after not two rounds. Every player got to play all four rounds. But after the four rounds of this tournament, the top 70 and ties moved on to the second week of the tournament. So the first tournament was kind of, it's an eight-round tournament, effectively. And the first four rounds, or like the first two rounds of a normal four-round event, they were the cut. So if you didn't make the top 70 in ties, you didn't move on to the second event. The first event was in Mobile, second event in Dothan. I'm sorry, I don't know my Alabama town names, but part of the RTJ trail. So now for the second tournament, you've got four more rounds. You've got all the players who were in the top 70 in ties who continue on. Now they're going to finish the tournament with four more rounds at this venue. And the players with the lowest combined total that finish in the top 45 in ties receive some kind of LPGA Tour status for next season. And that's a big deal. I mean, that's a lot. And you're subject to reshuffles and stuff. And obviously the higher up you finish, the better chance you get into more tournaments. So there's something to that as well. Finishing position matters in this. But at the end, getting an LPGA card is also a huge deal. The second four rounds start tomorrow, Thursday through Sunday, just like you would normally expect. Some pretty big names are in contention. Some people I've spent some time with personally. Some folks that you might have seen do well in tournaments on the Epson Tour, maybe on an LPGA stop. Maybe on the Ladies European Tour, if you follow those things. Luna Sobrin-Gomes is a Spanish player who has made a name for herself on the Ladies European Tour. Polly Mack is a great player. Anna Balak, who's a great player, had a really good year on the Ladies European Tour, had some good starts in majors. Samantha Wagner, a really accomplished player on the Epson Tour, has kind of been on the edge of getting through. Dana Finkelstein's a name you're going to recognize. Lindy Duncan, you would recognize if you're an LPGA fan. Bianca Pagdanganan is also a long-hitting player, and she's kind of struggled with her consistency, but she's in the mix. Bailey Tardy is in the mix, a young player who's up and coming. Some good names among the players who are already in the top 45 in ties through the first four rounds of this eight-round odyssey, but there are still a whole bunch of players who can move up pretty substantially. There's only four shots difference between players getting their card right now projected and the absolute bottom of the leaderboard. Alexa Pano and Mariah Stackhouse are among those on two under, the worst scoring players. Sophie Hausman, who had a pretty good year this year. There's a lot of players kind of sitting on minus two, and they're only four shots out. That's a lot. It's not a lot to make up in four rounds. So something worth watching. There's not coverage on TV, unfortunately, but you can at least catch the leaderboard online. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the match. We've got the Match 7 on Saturday. It's going to be under the lights at 7 p.m., Pelican Golf Club in Florida. It's where they have played for the last several years, the Pelican Women's Championship, the tournament of the LPGA. That is their final full field tournament of the year before they get into the CME Group Tour Championship. It's going to be renamed the Annika for next year. Increased purse. They're kind of taking two tournaments and putting them together into one in a way. But we've got the Match 7. And I thought this was really poignant because I saw this from Eric Patterson, who writes for The Score, has been with The Score for a while. Really good guy, really enjoyable follower on Twitter, but he sent a tweet this morning that I thought was pretty interesting, and he was kind of wondering if there's been any kind of buzz for the match. And he said, anyone else slightly concerned with the lack of buzz around the match? It's Wednesday, and the only thing I've seen so far is a picture of their carts. And I agree, he's right. I really haven't heard a whole lot about it, and I weighed in on that, you know, the realities that we talked about on the show about golf ratings this past fall. If you look at them across the board, it's basically down 30%. Pick the golf tournament. It's down 30%-ish or more in some cases. Some 35, some like 27, but generally speaking, about 30%. Even for the Hero World Challenge, 30% less interest. And there's been natural concern about that, right? I mean, when ratings go down by 30%, you're like, what the hell? To lose a third of your audience effectively from the prior year is a pretty big deal. What's going on? And I think, as we talked about, it's a mixture of things. It's people being kind of done with golf because they were watching so much golf during the pandemic when it was one of the first sports to come back. So they've gotten their fill. They're like, all right, that's good. We're good. We're done here. Then there's the reality of other sports being very much active right now, namely college football and the NFL. They have been huge draws this season. Their ratings are up and are up in certain times quite substantially over even last year. So a lot of people are have kind of come back to football, paid attention to it in massive numbers this year, record numbers even. And then you have probably some disconnect with the PGA Tour effectively killing the fall for next year, but it's already kind of dead now, so why watch it? That's part of it. I think there's some fatigue between LIV and the PGA Tour rivalry, and maybe some people just don't want to deal with that. I've seen so many people talk about this. I won't say thousands, but enough people that it piques my attention that they've said, you know, I only really watch the majors now. I only watch the big tournaments. I skip out on everything else because there's just so much. It's almost too much, or it's an off-putting thing otherwise, or whatever they came up with. But that's very interesting to me that all those reasons kind of contribute to that 30% decline. But we've got four huge draws playing in this exhibition match on Saturday night, and there's really nothing competing against it. You got Army-Navy in the afternoon, and that is a great game to watch, but it's not the best football you've ever seen. And you've got this event at night. And I'm sure you've got some college basketball, NBA, NHL, all that good stuff. But they're regular season things. Maybe some of the college basketball is a draw because starting to get into conference season, all that stuff. But again, still pretty niche sport at the end of the day. So you've got free and clear for the evening. Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas going against each other. With Tiger Woods teaming with Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas teaming with Jordan Spieth. How can that not be a draw? How can that not be successful? But at the same time, there just has not been a lot of buzz and discussion about it. And I wonder if that's because the match has kind of lost some steam. I mean, this is the seventh one, and they've been doing one per year. And if you're old enough to remember back to the Battle of Bighorn and all those ABC golf specials Under the Lights and things like that, they eventually ran their course after 5 or 6 years. That was it. And then we didn't have it again for 20 years. So I don't know if it's run its course, if that's just kind of what the tolerance is. Is it that it just kind of is one of those things with a really slow burn, and then it comes on TV and everyone's like, hey, Tiger's playing. Or, hey, there's a match on TV. I'm interested. Maybe it's that. And I have kind of felt that way about a couple of them already. Not just this one. I really don't know what it is. And I'm very curious to see and hear from you, by the way. I would love to hear from you. Whether you're going to watch this thing. Or maybe you'll just kind of tune in casually and you'll see someone in your social media feed mention it. You'll be like, hey, oh yeah. I do remember that. That is one. I'm going to watch it for a little while. Flip back and forth between things. I don't know. But I'm very curious how that will all wind up working out. And I don't have an answer either way. I don't have a projection. I'm just a curious onlooker. I know Rory McIlroy was on Inside the NBA last night. I did not see that clip personally when I was watching NBA action. That actually, I only saw the portion of Inside the NBA where Shaquille O'Neal was pushed by Kenny the Jet Smith into a Christmas tree, and then I believe at halftime of the
Nuggets and Mavericks game, I'm pretty sure Shaq voluntarily launched himself into the same tree again to kind of create a replay and got pine needles all over himself. So that was what I saw. I did not see Rory McIlroy. So maybe that was pregame, not during the game. Either way, little promotion from Turner. And it's hard for them because it's not like they have a whole lot of vehicles to do this other than golf media. And Bleacher Report doesn't have much of a golf following. They don't have like a golf reporter or anything. That's their sports property that they own. So I don't really know how they reach people about this other than relying on Tiger, Rory, JT, and Spieth to kind of do it. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested. I'm going to be watching. Please let me know if you are as well. That's going to do it for us today on Two at the First. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Tell a friend about us. That would be lovely. Head over to golfnewsnet.com. Enter our 18 days of golf. Sign up for our newsletter, The Break. And follow us on Golf Newsnet on any social media service to get extra entries, or subscribe to The Break to get an entry into all of our contests over this holiday season. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow on Two Off the First.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.